14. When you get there, say amen. Amen. A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying or fortune telling. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out of her, and it came out the same hour. Now, right after this is when Paul and Silas get thrown into the streets. They get thrown into jail for preaching the word of God and casting out demonic spirits. But I want to preach just a little while on that spirit of divination right there. Let's pray. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask your hand to be upon us right now, God. I need you. Lord, I know Satan is fighting, and I know, God, that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, you'd move in this church. God, I pray, God, you would touch hearts. God, I pray, God, you would break hearts. God, I pray, God, you would get a hold to folks today. God, help us to realize that, Lord, there are higher powers. There are powers that we're fighting against right now. And God, whatever's done, we're going to praise you. We're going to honor you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Acts chapter 16, verse 16, the spirit of divination in the original Greek, it translates the spirit of divination literally means the spirit of Python. The spirit of Python in the Greek, Python is named to be a serpent that lives in Delphi in the southern part of Greece. What we call today had the spirit of divination or a spirit of Python. This is probably what the folks in that area called this young lady. This comes from the Greek god Apollos, which was supposed to kill some large snake that was able to foretell future. And I'm not going to get into all that, but understand something. There is a spirit. A demonic spirit that hinders us. This girl was a soothsayer. She told the future. Now, some things about this Python spirit that I want to start off with, okay? Understand something, and I want everybody to listen real good to what I'm getting ready to tell you. Some things about this Python spirit. Number one, it loves to flatter. Notice what the prophecy of this young girl was not given to encourage or to affirm. It was given to flatter. She followed Paul and Silas around. She said, these men are the prophets. They're telling you the way of God. And when you got somebody in church that's always flattering, be careful. It always demands attention. This indicated by the fact that she followed Paul and them others for many days, continuing to aggravate Paul. Beware of those people that use this kind of stuff to just get attention or draw the limelight on themselves. I know preachers. I know people in church. And, you know, it's all about them. If it's all about you, then it ain't all about him. Amen. It loves to be seen and heard. That's indicated by the fact that she kept putting herself at the center of attention. She kept following Paul and Silas. You better watch those who use the church and who use the prophecy and who use the pulpit to make it all about them. They want to be the center of attention. Let me tell you something. If I'm the center of attention in this church is way off track. Jesus Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men nigh unto myself. I can talk about Skip and Robert all day long, and that ain't going to save nobody. But if I lift up Jesus, glory to God, if I put him high and I put him first, everything else works out fine. The spirit of Python wants to be important. It's indicated by the fact that she directed her prophecy to the leaders that were there. She was trying to interject herself with Paul and Silas. Now, let me just go ahead and tell you something. Understand what I'm getting ready to say. Demonic spirits don't have to lie. What did she say? Let me go back and read what the Bible says that she said. These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. She was telling the truth. But it was a demonic spirit doing it. Everybody carrying a King James Bible ain't of God. Everybody that claims to be a preacher, everybody that claims to be a church worker ain't of God. Let me tell you something. There's people that I know with King James Bibles preaching and teaching false prophecy. That's not of God. The Bible tells us to discern the spirits, amen? Now, so what about the Python spirit? I want to preach on that, the Python spirit, the spirit of Python. And I know this might not necessarily be talking about what we would call a Python, but we do understand it, and I'm not going to get into a lot of stuff today because I don't have time. There are serpent spirits, and I'll leave it at that. Some of y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm still in the Bible, amen? So let's look at the python. Pythons are ambush predators. Okay? Understand that. They'll lay in wait for days. They'll lay still for days waiting on the right prey to come by. How long did Satan wait on Job? God said, what you been doing? He said, I've been roaming to and fro, going about here and there. And he said, what about my servant Job? He said, oh, yeah, I done been by Job's house many times. They're ambush predators. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Understand something. The thing about a python spirit, you won't know it's there. The thing about a python spirit, these demonic spirits that I'm preaching about right now, Mike, we walk by them all the time. I don't have time to get into. But you know, most snakes, most pythons, they're camouflaged. And you know, I'm very careful when I walk out into the yard, especially walking into leaves, because Melvin, those snakes, they can curl up, and you won't never see them. Some of y'all walked into church today, walked right by one, you didn't even know it. Preacher, you saying there are people in the church today that's like that? Yep. I ain't making no bones about it. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you. He may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. I read a story of a preacher, and I'm not going to call any names, but he said he got on an airplane one time. He got to his seat, put his luggage up. He looked over. There was a well-dressed man sitting beside him, had a goatee. He said the man had a suit tie. He looked very nice, very professional. He looked over at him, and he said he looked down. He looked like he was reading or praying, and the guy said, he said, excuse me, he said, it looks like you're praying. He said, yes, sir, I am praying. He said, well, I'm in that line of work, too. He said, what do you pray for? He said, I'm actually praying for the demise of Christian leaders. You don't know what you come in contact with. You don't know what you come around with. And understand something. The thing about it is, we got to understand, it's everywhere. We open up ourselves sometimes to things that we should not open up ourselves to. We see things that we cannot unsee. We hear things that we cannot unhear. And I'm just telling you, sometimes this python spirit will attach itself to you. It will attach itself to your family. It will attach itself to your home. And I'm telling you right now, it will kill you. Number two, pythons are constrictors. Now, most of us in here understand what I'm talking about. Pythons do not kill with venom. They constrict. And understand, I've always been under the impression that when a python, Melvin, would bite somebody and wrap them up, they would just crush them. That's not what they do. Pythons do not grab someone, wrap themselves around, and suddenly just tighten up with everything they've got. They don't do that. It's very slow. And every time you take a breath, it gets a little bit tighter. And every time you take a breath, it gets a little bit tighter. Until it finally suffocates you. Cuts off all the oxygen. Cuts off. What are you trying to say, preacher? John chapter 20. Breath has always been symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed into man the breath of life. The Bible says in John chapter 20, verse 21, then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. The spirit of Python wants to constrict you so much as a Christian that it expels the Holy Spirit from you. That's all it wants. It ain't necessarily wanting to kill you. It ain't necessarily wanting you to die. It just wants to get the Holy Spirit out of you. How many of you come in today, you feel constricted? How many of us come in today, you felt like there was something just hindering you in this service? How many come in today, there was something hindering you from worshiping? I'm telling you right, if you couldn't worship today, there's something wrong with you. How many of us come in today, and it seems like there's always a dark cloud over? It seems like there's always something hindering you from your Bible study, something from constricting you from your prayer life, something constricting you from your Bible reading, something constricting you from coming to church, something constricting you when you get on Sunday afternoon, you just can't get out of the recliner. On Sunday morning, you just can't get out of bed. You can't make it to Sunday school because there's something constricting you. There's something holding you back. It might not be laziness. It might be something else. Let me interject this right now. I want you to get a picture. A python. What happens is, Brother Robert, they have heat sensors. And they see the heat. Jackie, they'll reach out and bite something. They'll clap onto it and wrap it up around the outside. The Lord spoke to me when I was studying this. Brother Robert, thank God we don't have pythons around here. I'm just interject this. I'm scared of snakes. We don't have pythons around here for the most part. People, some crazy people's got them as pets, but that's another sermon. But get this picture. Python wraps around you. Brother Ralph, the snakes we have around this area that's venomous bite you and inject something inside of you. Let me tell you something. A Christian cannot be possessed with a demonic spirit. The Bible says the snake tried to bite Paul. Paul just shook it off. But you understand something. You can be wrapped around and oppressed with a python spirit. How do you know, preacher? Because I've had it. Robert's had it. Skip's had it. Melvin's had it. We've all had it. Every last one of us, if you think Satan ain't at your house trying to hinder you, if you think the devil ain't doing his very best to tear you up, to get you out of church, to destroy your family, then you are sadly mistaken. Sometimes, I don't know about y'all, sometimes it's, I'll be honest with you, sometimes it's hard to pray. Am I the only one in here? Sometimes, Adam, sometimes I get up in the morning, my mind says you need to read your Bible, and it's all I can do to pick that Bible up sometimes. Sometimes, ain't no problem. Sometimes, BG, I can pick that Bible up, man. I can read that thing. I can have myself a good time. Sometimes I can't turn the TV off and pick my Bible up. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Is it that I don't care, Melvin? Or is it something else? Sometimes I'll be in Walmart and God says, speak to that person, and I don't have no problem. I mean, Ronnie, I can jump all over. I'll jump all over them for Jesus in a minute. And sometimes it's like I want to run the other way. The Bible tells us, now listen, I told you we're going to get real. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So, if the Apostle Paul in his writing to the Ephesians says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against evil spirits, don't you think Paul wrestled against it? And if Paul wrestled against it, you're going to wrestle against it. It's real. I'm just telling you, it's real. What's some of the strategies? J.O. Sanders and a lot of the stuff that I'm preaching to you today, I've studied and read behind a lot of people. J.O. Sanders said this in a summary of the strategies of Satan. Strategies of Satan with unbelievers. If you're here today and you're not saved, listen to me. He binds them. He's blinding the minds of the unregenerated, 2 Corinthians. He snatches away the good seed of the word in Matthew 13. He's lulling an unbeliever into false sense of security. Luke chapter 11, you do not have all the time in the world. Today is the day of salvation. You're not promised tomorrow. He lays snares for the unwary. 2 Timothy chapter 2. He's masquerading as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians. He's deceiving those minds who are not subject to the word of truth. He's mixing truth with error just so he can mess you up. That's what Satan is doing to the unbeliever. Well, what is Satan doing to the church? What is Satan doing to the Christian? He's neutralizing the witness from the church from within. No church ever fell from without. Persecution from without. He smothers it, smothers the church with great popularity. What was the Bible said about the church of Laodicea? They were lukewarm. What was it the Bible says about one of the churches that said, oh, you have a name that you're alive, but you're dead? That's the most of the churches today that we face. It disturbs the unity. He disturbs the unity of the church by sowing discord. Sends the church in apostasy and backsliding. Satan works through apathy. How many of y'all know what the word apathy is? I want to give it to you just in case you don't know. Apathy is the absence. Now listen, when I saw this, I like the fella. The absence or suppression, constriction. You getting this? The absence or suppression of passion, emotion, or excitement. The lack of interest of concerning for things that others find moving or exciting. In other words, while some of us went in here today with our hands raised up, Matt singing about Jesus, we worshiping God, having a good time, you sitting there with your lip poked out, you can't hardly, somebody couldn't walk for you, they'd step on your bottom lip because you all pouty and everything else. How can we come into God's house, somebody sing, I don't know how we can sing Amazing Grace and everybody in here not have your hand up in the air.
Amen. Amen.
Apathy. Well, they just ain't singing my song. Well, whoop-de-doo. He's still God whether we sing your song or not.
Amen.
Well, the Lord ain't answered my prayer yet. Well, praise him anyhow. That's how Satan works, through apathy. Let me tell you something, folks. The python spirit's alive and well in the church of Jesus Christ. And the problem is we live in America where there's not a lot of persecution on us. We can come in and worship God any way we want to. And most of us don't. Now listen, pythons devour their prey whole. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking, listen, whom he may devour. I remember years ago I preached a message. I choose not to be devoured. I choose not to be defeated. I choose not to be depressed. That's my choice. Let me go ahead and tell y'all something. I ain't I ain't going to be the little weak antelope at the back of the pack that the lion is looking at. If I'm that weak antelope, I know to get myself in the middle of everybody else, glory to God, and I won't be the weak antelope no more. He wants to devour you. The Bible tells in James chapter 1, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Some of us today have a python spirit attached itself to us. Some of us today are like some of these crazy people like I was talking about a while ago. You got your little pet snake. You got your little pet sin. You know what the problem is when most people find out with pythons and boa constrictors and things like that? They keep feeding it until it gets too big. And when it gets too big, they can't handle it. I'll never forget, I read a story one time. This man goes to the vet, and he's talking about his python. He said, oh, my python just loves to lay in bed beside me and cuddle up to me. The vet said, that python ain't cuddling up to you. It's figuring out whether he can swallow you. Some of us have got our little pet sins, and you keep feeding it, and it's going to grow until it devours you. So, preacher, what I need to do? Well, I'm glad you asked. Matt, come to the piano. What I'm getting ready to tell you is a true story. This is one of them that I know for a fact. A friend of mine used to work with Door County Police, and his brother was a state trooper along with me. His brother was stationed in Charleston. He was stationed in Horry County. My wife went to school with these boys. Their last name was Butlers. Robert and Paul Butler. If any of you have ever been to the alligator adventure down at the beach, there's a big rattlesnake. Used to be a big rattlesnake down there. One of these boys caught that rattlesnake in Aner there, took it down there, and they put it in that. Well, the boy in Charleston was real good friends with the veterinarian, Brother Robert, that part owner in that alligator adventure. This nut went all over the place. He went to Tibet catching cobras and all that kind of stuff. You crazy. Yeah. This vet had a $30,000 white python. And what they would do, they would take whole chickens, Brother Ralph. They would put them in the microwave, and they would heat them up and throw them into the cage where the pythons were. The pythons would swallow that, you know, and that's what they would eat. There was a little guy that was helping them. He was excited. He was real, interested in snakes. So he asked them one day, can I feed the python? They said, sure. Well, he takes the chicken that's just come out of the microwave, just hot. Instead of throwing it in the cage, Benji, he waves it in front of him. And the python, being a python, struck at it, missed as he was waving it, missed the chicken, bit the boy, and wrapped him up immediately. Well, like I said a while ago, they don't kill right off the bat. It's a slow process. They're sitting there thinking, what in the world are we going to do? The vet said, I'm not killing my $30,000 python for this idiot. He ought to know better. The way they saved that boy, they took that snake and that boy and rolled him into a pool. And when the snake hit it, it got into water, it unloosed him. Water is always symbolic of the Holy Spirit. If there's things fighting you today, I'm telling you right now, the only way you're going to get rid of it is to engulf yourself with the Holy Spirit.